You're listening to the GoCast Network.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our No Podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night show, a very special episode.
Oh, it's special.
Woo-hoo. Is Adam's mic on?
Is my mic on?
There it is.
Jesus.
Very special.
Very special episode. This is the episode where we all learn a lesson.
Yeah.
And that lesson is?
I'm coming out as the first gay pregnant kid. About 30 minutes in.
Whoa. The first gay pregnant man. That voice you hear is star of, I think the thing you're most known for is the Sims commercial.
Yeah, I'm most known for Sims and my early work with Taco Bell.
Yeah, the mayor of Sims. What if the entire time we just presented you as the mayor?
Yeah, and I keep being
Sims.
Like, I'm in some other shit. Let's talk about that.
Easy Sims mayor.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the town you're running.
Uh-huh. That is the voice of workaholic, star, creator, writer, producer, caterer, Adam Devine, everyone. Adam Devine's here.
Yes.
All right.
I've also worked a little art department.
Woo! Costuming. And Adam brought a friend named Kyle, who's sitting over here, who looks basically like every Cheech and Chong stereotype. And here's why I like your friend Kyle. I walked in and Kyle did a little like oriental bow to me.
Oh, shit.
And I looked at him like,
proper.
I just kind of looked at him like, what's up, dude? He's like, that's not what you do.
Wait, did you say that's not what you do to midgets when you see him in a podcast?
I think that's what he means.
Is this a midget thing, bro?
It's a midget thing.
Do you bow to midget
thing? You have a weird.
I think he thought that it was proper to bow to a midget, and you know what?
Hey, that's kind of.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that's good.
Yo. I'm gonna start demanding that when I walk on stage now, as my entire audience
bow
just stands up and goes, "Bow to me, audience." I like it. Adam Devine, we've been trying to get you for a while, but obviously you're a very busy man. You have many things going on.
Yeah.
You have TV shows, commercials, orgies that you attend on a regular basis.
So many orgies.
How many Sims orgies?
Oh, strictly from actual orgies that I've developed in the game.
Yeah.
Because that's outrageous.
Yeah. What are those computerized
fuck
parties like?
Yeah, just.
There's no cure for it in the world of Sims.
Well, here's one thing I like about Mr. Adam Devine, and I said this to Chris D'Elia because he falls under this as well when he was in here, is Adam, you're a TV star, but you still work hard at your stand-up. I still see you at the Hollywood Improv working it out.
Where he started.
Bringing the funny.
Yeah.
That's...
I started.
Tell us.
I don't. You. Were, you. I didn't. You
was Brad
around,
there when you
right?
would?
No.
Yeah. You know what? I might have been around. I'm tough to find. It's like check your shoes.
There he is. I started working at the Hollywood Improv, like answering phones and like doing the door.
Kidding.
Yeah, like back in 2004.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was right when you got out here.
Yes, moved out here
Nebraska.
Yeah, I lived 2 years in Orange County because my parents thought I would get like. Gang raped if I moved right to L.A.
That's dude, the stereotypes so your parents create of L.A. before you move there, I mean...
The scariest shit.
Why do you think I still live in Orange County?
Yeah. Dude, when I came out here to go to SC, I mean, I'm sure your family did the same thing. Yeah. Like, they were just like, it's in Watts, right? Okay, well, you're going to be packing a gun, right? I was like, what? No, dude, I've shot a super soaker the most in my life. What am I going to do with a real gun?
Wait, you live in Watts? Who lives in Watts?
That's where everybody thought SC was, USC was, in downtown
sure.
L.A.
Yeah, also, it is scary down there. So don't try to pretend it's, like, not scary at all down there.
Oh, trust me. I mean, on campus, you're, like, in this in this oasis. It's beautiful.
It's
you take two steps out. You're like, oh, this is Boys in the Hood come to life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
All right.
Like, the Baskin-Robbins was run by, like, thug Latino dudes. Like, you want a mint chocolate chip on a fucking, like, do you want a sample of a cookie
dough? Make, like, you make, like, really good friends with them, and so you feel like you're untouchable.
I'm a made man with the Latino BKs.
Yeah,
dude.
I made some friends with this dude that lived right across the street from me when I lived off like Pico and La Brea, which is a pretty shitty area.
Yep,
that's where all the Jewish delis are.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, that's more north. This is very hood. So don't try to underplay.
Oh, I know.
Hood
okay.
My,
That's right.
It's where Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles
Fair
is.
Enough, yeah.
Yeah, and my next door neighbor was named G Money, and he wore like a chain with a money sign, and I think he must have dealt coke, like, because he would wash like Bentleys and Maseratis and stuff.
Yeah, G Money like, isn't running like some sort of like an orphanage daycare.
Yeah, no, because he's just sitting out there all day. I'm like, what are you up to, G? But I became friends with him, and we got robbed one time, and he came over and he's like, yo, no one messes with anyone on my block. You my boys. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, God.
Like, holy shit. You have
such a
you
comforting
have
day.
Backup yeah. now.
I felt so good. I was just yelling at people. I was
it is, it is like.
Move, motherfucker. Click, click. Yeah.
Just knowing G Money's got your back.
Yeah. And then you moved out here from Nebraska?
Did you forget what, like, how to say Nebraska?
Or midway.
Oh, yeah.
Midway through.
Oregon.
Nabisco. You're from Nabisco.
Iowa.
Yeah, but you moved out here from where?
Nebraska, Omaha.
Oh, and then did you ever go up at the Omaha Funny Bone over there?
Yeah, I did. I moved out, like, right when I was 18, so I didn't really perform anywhere. So I moved out to Orange County and then kind of didn't do anything for a couple years and went to college. And then really started at the Hollywood Improv. But every time I'd go back after I kind of got started, they're really cool out there.
Yeah, you came
Colleen,
out. Colleen.
Shout out.
Yes.
Big shout out.
Colleen runs the Omaha Funny Bone, is a huge Rolling Stones fan, and used to date Bill Hicks.
Whoa.
So she has
it's a great resume.
Yeah, so she's got tons of Bill Hicks stories that she tells you, like, yeah, he actually really liked kittens. Right. You know, and you're like, what?
You want to really get to the point that you're cool enough that, like, your ex girlfriend could be like, yeah, I dated Adam Devine. And people are like, whoa, that's awesome.
You got stories.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the stories? Pretty boring. Pretty boring shit.
A lot of Sims gangbangs. Yeah. Knows a guy named G Money. Pretty much.
Now you said you came out here when you were 18. Now was that just the
with dreams of stardom or just like because 18 is a very adventurous. I mean, me coming out here for college, I feel like was an excuse almost. So it was like, all right, I'm coming out here with a purpose, and I'm getting forced to be in a place to meet people. I always have so much respect for people that are just like, I'm gonna just fucking come here with nothing and just try to do it. And that's pretty much what you did.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I was supposed to go to UCLA, and then we don't have any money. So I was like, I'm going to go to Orange Coast College.
Woo!
Go Pirates? You a pirate?
I'm not, but I know
I know
the campus.
Yeah.
Yo, the, I know the campus. Did you have a pirate mascot?
Yeah, it was a pirate, man. It ruled. And it was like the sexiest chicks, because it's all the best-looking girls from Orange County that were just a little too dumb to get into
USC, UCLA.
UCLA
didn't have the right parents.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Dad didn't own Kinko's.
So, like, it was the best. Like, most college campuses are just chicks in sweatpants, like, tying their hair up just in knots, you know, like, not giving a shit. But
every pirate girl.
They wear, like, bikinis and they longboard, or they wear, like, heels and dresses, and I'm from Nebraska, just losing my mind.
You went to school at every spring break movie from 1987.
Totally. But went there, and that was the excuses to go to college, and I was going to transfer up to UCLA. But at the time, I started, like, met Blake in improv class, like, day one at OCC.
Blake Anderson
from Workaholics, yeah. And Kyle, then I met through Blake.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, we were like, we both make videos in high school, so we're like, you guys make videos? We make videos.
Dude,
so video wall!
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's
such a great common bond to have, though, because, like, not everybody was making videos. Like, I know when I went to high school, I was, like, one of a handful of people that just was, like, on your weekends or even,
it
like,
was fun.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're not getting laid, is you work hard. Because you go, wow, I'm not getting laid. I've got to bust my ass so I can get laid.
Yeah, but you also just
what
like,
can I do?
It's like such a specific way to try to like amuse yourself. Like for us, it was all like, let's make this funny shit. And then you'd watch it and like laugh at it and be like, man, you're funny. That was funny what you did. Like,
yeah.
And all that developed then into like, when did the idea for Workaholics really come into your guys' head? Like, was that like an original idea that you guys had pretty much from the beginning, or
we just
did you do
sort
a bunch
of
stuff and then developed it?
Ripped off Mad About You. We just sort of saw what they were doing.
What would Paul Reiser do right now?
Yeah. A question I've asked myself almost every day of my life.
WWPRD.
Was it Helen Hunt? She was in it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, she was looking good.
You act like you don't know the cast of Mad About You.
It was Helen Hunt, right?
Not that I've memorized her IMDb. Not that I saw her in that new movie where she's 52 years old and still doing a nude scene.
Oh, I didn't see that. What is that? I need to get involved with that.
She plays a
go to wherearehelenhuntstits.com.
Yeah, wherearehelenhuntstits.com. She plays a sex surrogate, and she's 52 years old, and she has a nude scene. Hey, and you know what?
They hanging proper?
They hanging proper. Go, Helen.
Hanging,
you know what I mean?
Proper.
Yo, was it one specific? Like, okay, so you, Blake, and Kyle met, and then where did Durs fall into the mix?
Well, then we started, Blake and I started writing sketches together, and we formed a sketch group. Called the Instruments of Destruction.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Such, dude, names of sketch groups and bands on are the best.
Instruments of Destruction! that was like our intro between every sketch. God. It'd be like, Instruments of Destruction!
It's awesome. Though.
It's like just like 80s metal coming out. That's
but
awesome.
Those weren't the sketches at all. It was about like the Salem witch trials and shit. or like a chair at a garage sale that has a Mexican blanket over you that talks to you and is like, get off my face, man. It was like so stupid.
Oh my God. Yeah. Is there footage
of that? But then we started writing together and then
you're like, all right,
Kyle,
like
Kyle moved
thing.
Up to LA to go to film school. Kyle Newacek, our director, and I was kind of like, fuck it, I want to move up there and drop out of school and start doing stand-up full-time. Did that. We started making videos together. At the same time that I was going to the Second City, which it used to be right next door to the Improv.
Yeah.
And since I worked at the Improv, I got half off to go to the Second City. So I was like, I got to do it. Mm. And met Durs there. And he was like the weirdest dude I've ever met.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. A motherfucker gave
me what was appealing about him?
He was really, hands down, like the funniest dude in class.
Yeah.
But also was like on a bizarre tip that I was just not on.
Yeah.
You know, like.
How so?
It's just, this is an example. He gave, like, it was like a weird date moment where I was like asking him out. I was like, hey, dude, you're really funny. Like, good scene in there.
Guys asking other dudes to hang out.
Yeah,
so
and
weird.
being like, so you want to write together sometime? And my car had broken down, so my girl roommate had picked me up from class.
Yeah,
and she's just waiting in the car, and she's like, what the fuck is that about? Are you dating dudes
she's
now?
Watching you awkwardly
like talk to Durs for the first
outside
time.
Outside the window.
And then he's like, yeah, totally, let's hang out. And then I go hang out a few days later, and then we get an idea to write a pilot called Dorms with a Z.
All right.
It's actually,
I love the titles with a Z. Yeah. Like, you know it's going to be college-esque.
Yeah, it was that. And then wasn't there a show called School Days with a Z, too?
Uh-huh. Glory Days.
Glory Days. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
But then he gives me Jamie Foxx, Live from the Foxhole.
So great.
He gave me Jamie Foxx, We Might Need Security, on DVD. And then he gives me American Psycho, the book, and goes, watch this and read this, and you'll know exactly like where my comedy
comes
from.
Wow.
Yeah, and I did, and it totally – he was so dialed into like who he was as a person.
That's incredible.
And he was only like 22 or something when I met him.
Yeah, that's kind of – and just, you know, for people who aren't comics, like that's what you're trying to work towards is like figuring out what your point of view is and what your style is. And it just takes time, not only for like the sketch stuff, but for stand-up. So for him
Carlin
to be like –
Carlin said it takes 10 years.
Yeah, dude.
On average.
So for him at 22 to be like, this is me.
This is him. And – 100% that's him. Like, he's like,
so he likes to fuck girls in front of a mirror while listening to Huey Lewis in the news?
Oh, that's exactly. Yeah, like wearing like a Patagonia raincoat or some shit. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I gotta hang out with this guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, while he's like playing the piano. He can't do it, but he wants to.
He can't play it, but he has the Casio keyboard doing the beats on the side. It's fine. It works out.
Tickle the ivories.
That's incredible. And so then you guys just started, the more you started writing and shooting shit.
Yeah, and then Kyle and I started doing a video, and then we started like it was like YouTube had just come out. And
how nuts was that, by the way? Because for I'm sure you and I were doing videos like that in high school, and I had a platform for like every Friday we would have like our news program play Friday morning, but that was the most people could see what you were doing.
Yeah, because you do all these videos, and then you're just like aggressively showing your friends.
Dude, yes, like, hey, watch this VHS. Like, fuck, dude, no, I got homework. You're like, well, watch this thing we did with trolls and putting whipped cream on their butts to like cum, you know?
It felt like you were like a wife and your friends were your husband, and like you just want them to do the dishes. You don't want to ask them to do it. Like, it was... It felt like that. You don't want to ask, you don't want to be like, you want to watch my video? You want them to like want you.
So you try to like drop it in conversation.
But yeah, like, man, this we made new this, video. Yeah, it's really funny, but it's whatever.
Yeah. We made it this weekend. Yeah. You maybe quote your own shit to them.
Yeah. Oh, you don't know that?
Yeah. That's from the video.
Yeah, that's from the video.
Yeah.
Because I remember when YouTube came out, it was just like, wait a minute. We could throw up anything and then tell people. And
yeah,
they
the moment you realize anything could go up, the moment you saw somebody's cat to somebody just at a gas station videotaping somebody weird pumping gas.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa.
Oh, the game has changed. You need no talent anymore. Yeah.
So then you start posting your sketches up there.
Well, Kyle and I, we actually found it through the Lonely Island. Like a buddy of ours that was an editor with Kyle at LA Film School was over, and we were just hanging out smoking weed. And he's like, yo, my buddies that I went to college with or that I went to high school with, rather, are going to be on SNL next year. We should watch some of their videos. And we're like comedy dudes. We're like, yeah, okay. We'll see if they're funny. Sure, SNL. Because okay.
We've been doing sketch videos for about 7 months now. Yeah, I think we know what's good.
I'm sorry. Sophomore year of high school, and now I'm 19. I've got a few years under my belt. But then and then it was just Lonely Island. Like we're two guys and we're having a good time, like that video and all those.
And then what was the one that blew up? It was the one with Natalie, the Lazy Sunday.
Lazy Sunday, yeah, but right. That was when they're already on. But anyways, we found it, and then we started posting a video every week, and then away we go.
Built a following. Yeah. And then at what point was the Wizard rap, or the Withers Never Die, the motherfucker?
That was right before we finished that album the summer before we got Workaholics. And we honestly, it's so nerdy how hard we worked on this stupid thing. But I mean,
I think we actually have to work
crazy hard.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Chance, you mind give us a little?
Motherfucking
yeah. Here we are.
You still remember all the lyrics?
Back.
Motherfucker, 2008.
2008.
Wow.
On the wizard weed all day, all night, stay high. That's why wizards ain't gonna die.
Dude, it's so and the costumes, like incredible. All you have giant beards.
That was the most we've ever spent on a video. We spent like $120 on the whole video.
Hey,
we were like, we're going
to yeah.
But you can do that. That's what it's like. People like, you could just, if it's funny, it's funny. You don't need to spend a ton of money on it. And like, technology is at the point now that it doesn't cost a lot. Like, I know kids, like I have a buddy that is like trying to do this, and he's trying to make short films and shit. And I'm like, first of all, don't make short films. Just make tiny little movies that are 3 minutes to 5 minutes and put them online.
Yeah.
He was doing a Kickstarter to get $10,000 to make
$10,000.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yo, you can't shoot for the stars right off the bat,
that's
man.
That's insane.
Yeah, you got to start small. I was going to ask, like, what type of advice, because I'm sure people do ask since they know that you started with your roots in sketch.
Most people don't ask. Most people just go, like, type butthole! Type butthole, bro!
Fucking chug it. You're a pussy, bro. DeMamp would chug it.
Yeah, well, I got to drive, man. I'm in my car right now. We're just at a stoplight.
Whoa. Yeah, the line is blurred with your character.
Yeah, yeah.
How nuts was that when that started happening, where people just see you? Because, like, when we were, like, did shows in Phoenix and you walked out on stage with the same type of energy and, like, essence from your show, people are just like, they feel like you're walking from television onto stage. So they're just like, we're going to get exactly what we see. That's who you are. You better be that for us tonight because we paid money to see what we watch.
I mean, it's cool. It's, like, really, really cool.
Yeah.
The only time that it's not cool is, like, if you, like, don't want to drink. I know that's, like, people are like, oh, fuck, I'm turning it off. I knew he was an idiot. He doesn't drink every night of his life. While I'm drinking right now, by the way.
Right.
But you just are, like, trying to go out and, like, have a couple beers. You got to get up early or whatever. And people are like, pussy! Take a fucking body shot off my homie, Dwayne. He's your biggest fan. Some dude, Dwayne, is like, I'm your biggest fan, bro. Take a body shot off, man.
I love Pitch Perfect, dude. Not a lot of dudes will say that.
Not a lot of dudes will say that bumper till I die.
I remember I'm going to name drop, so I apologize. I did a gig with Dave Attell in Texas, and this is right like when Insomniac was going. I told him, like, dude, it's got to be awesome.
Oh, he was dealing with the same thing.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, you got to be like getting laid all the time and just chicks everywhere. And Dave just kind of looks at me like, you don't understand. It's all frat guys.
Yeah.
All of them. And sure enough, we go out, and it's just a bunch of drunk dudes come up to him going, do shots with us, Dave. Do get drunk with us, Dave. Yeah. So I imagine it's just the same shit like,
you know,
going on.
What's funny is I did exactly that thing to Dave Attell really early on.
Awesome. Oh, because really when you were working there,
when
he was there all the time.
I was there every night. The nights I wasn't working, because weren't working is not a sentence.
One beer in, Adam Devine.
Weren't working.
But those are how. but those are how your catch. Like, you have so many catchphrases that you guys have created through the show. I'm sure slip ups or weird things like that you'll say, and you're like, that's not a real thing. Or is it for a t-shirt?
It can be. Tied butthole.
Wait, no, I want to go back to the improv thing real quick, but tell me, just while we're on this line, the let's get weird thing. You were telling me the other day where that came from.
Oh, well, let me finish the Dave Attell thing.
Fine, fair enough. This is your episode.
We go off on random tangents.
I see Dave Attell at the bar at the improv, and it's just a weekend, and I'm like, you know, two beers deep, so I'm wasted. And
hey,
that's all it takes, Brad.
I'm two beer Brad.
Two beer Brad, dude.
Woo! I get drunk so fast.
He'll dance that's Gangnam awesome. Style.
I will. I have.
But I did exactly that. I was like, Dave, Insomnia. Oh, it's my favorite. Oh God, we love you so much. I kept saying we. It was just me. It was just like my friends that's were like the in the showroom, but I'm at the bar being like, we love you. And I'm like, I'm buying you shots. Eddie, get him shots. And he's like, I don't want to serve him anymore. And then Dave goes, how about I give you a shot and you go away?
And I go, okay.
And he gives me a shot and he goes, thanks a lot, man. And I go, you're welcome. And he goes, thumbs up. And I didn't feel bad because it was Dave Attell telling me.
Yeah, so sure. Cool. Yeah. And also he had a drinking interaction with you.
Yeah,
which is
I got to take
you...
a shot. Yeah, yeah. That's what I was going for.
And that's what you realize that all your fans want. Like, they're not trying to annoy you. They want this moment. They want this story to tell their friends. Like, hey, the dude from Workaholics said I had a tight butthole, and then I got to pour Jaeger down his face. Yeah. It was awesome.
And then he took a body shot off Dwayne.
Dude, why is it always Dwayne?
He took a body shot off.
Why are friends always trying to pimp out Dwayne for body shots?
Dwayne's a good scapegoat name. You know?
Do you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Perfect example of the guys coming up to you and trying to relate was when we were in San Diego, which you've now turned into a bit. But you just got to tell Brad this,
story.
When we were down in San Diego, and you know how it is, guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were at this bar, and this guy, like, creeped up on me and was obviously the drunkest person.
Oh, right.
Like, at the bar.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. We hadn't seen everybody, but he walked up in a way that was almost like he was about to pull his ribbon out that was like, most fucked up dude here. Yeah.
Like, he's just being led around by just, like, a string attached to his head that you couldn't see.
Oh,
his arms back.
That kind of drunk. Yeah. Okay.
And he creeps up on me and...
They start walking like midgets, because midgets walk like that because we have big fucking heads that our bodies can't support, so we just kind of lean forward.
Yeah, you're falling everywhere you're going.
Lean forward and the body will follow.
This dude comes up and was like, he was like, they're kicking him out right then. They're like kicking him out.
The bouncers, I think, were behind him.
Yeah, we're right behind him, just standing there being like, oh, shit. And they're like, hey, man, they're like fucking kicking me out of here. I like took like 25 Patron shots kicking me out of here. You know how it is. And I'm like, yeah, man, no, I know how that is. Like, I get it. You drank too much, they're kicking you out. I get that. And then he's like, yeah, I took like all these Patron shots. Now I got to drive home. You know how it is. And I was like, yeah, I know how it is. Like, for sure. And then he walks out and just goes, I got Hep C. And look back at me like I know how it was.
Hey, finish the sentence, dude. Yeah. No, I don't know how that one is. I'm not aware.
Not aware of the Hep C.
You got me on that one. But he was trying to relate so bad. It was just like.
It was really
strange. He wanted that moment.
Yeah.
I'm amazed with you, Adam Devine, because I'm 29, and I'm kind of, when I hang out with other comics, I'm kind of always like the kid, and then you come out, you're what?
And you're a child.
I know, right? And I look like one. And you're 28?
I'm 29.
You're 29? Yeah, mm-hmm. You're my age.
Yeah.
Way more successful than me. So now it's like, fuck, I'm not the youngest guy anymore. Yeah. God damn it.
I'm sorry I did that to you.
I know you did it on purpose, too. Yeah,
This is for Brad.
I was going to say, what if you pulled out a piece of paper from, like, 2004 that was like, I will beat Brad Williams in the game of life.
Crush Brad.
Crush Brad.
Just have just your name carved into my chest. Every night before I go to bed, I just X it out.
No, but it's such a great time we're living in because you guys literally, and I know that I think Patton Oswalt gave this speech at the Montreal Comedy Festival last year where he said the gatekeepers are down. Like before, you needed a network guy to come to you and say, hey, yeah. I'm going to give you a shot. I'm going to give you a TV show. Nowadays, you can start putting up YouTube videos. You can start a podcast. You can start doing funny posts on Vine, Twitter, whatever.
It's awesome.
And then if you're good, your audience will find you, and your audience found you, and then it snowballed like crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when Workaholics debuted, they weren't putting a ton behind it, but they were like,
They did an okay job, but it wasn't like they weren't flying the flag crazy high.
Hey, you were saying the difference in ads from beginning to now, right?
Oh, yeah. It was just like, local jewelry stores or like Crazy Gideon's or whatever. And
the ads on your show.
The ads on the show. This season is like just the coolest video games and some shitty video games, but expensive ones at least.
Yeah, and then they're putting on their new shows after yours, which is a big compliment because you know, wow, they're counting on us to hold that audience for that new show.
Yeah.
And
it's a really weird thing. We're kind of at a point like I didn't know about any of this stuff before getting the show, but, like, people just DVR, like, especially, like, the Workaholics audience, they do not watch it live.
Oh, no shit.
So, like, we've kind of been in the 2 years that we've been on the air, it's been, like, the point that they're, like, it's all about the live numbers. It's all about the live numbers. Mm-hmm. And then now it's all about, like, well, we look at the plus 3 days, the plus 7 days of the DVR.
Oh, shit.
And then they sell that as far as advertising goes.
Dropping some knowledge on us, Adam Devine.
So DVR has been crucial.
Yeah, it's like, success. Very, very crucial.
Well, and your fans are so dedicated. Eric Griffin's a buddy of mine, and like when he would just start going up on stage at the Hollywood Improv, and then you just hear the audience just go Workaholics, and you're just like, whoa, people are watching. Like it's got to be such a crazy transition going from you work at the Hollywood Improv, you walk on stage, you see the audience go, oh, I don't know who this guy is, to now you're packing places out.
Yo, your picture's on the wall in the club that you started working at. That to me is like,
yeah, that was
bananas.
A surreal moment. Yeah. I like weirdly got caught by a fan taking a photo of myself standing in front of my photo. Like, because it's a big deal. Because I used to like, I like was such a dork about it. When I started working there, I would stand on stage during the middle of the day when I'm supposed to be answering phones.
And envision.
Like, envisioning it and like practicing taking the mic out of the stand and like dorky shit like that. It was like, don't want to fuck it up.
It's step one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there a cool way you would practice that you thought was like going to be way cool? Like to come up and go like, yeah. And like one motion, rip it up and hold it maybe for a minute.
You have no idea how many of those I have. And like just posing on the piano.
Oh,
and
like,
I'm good. I could kick the mic over, catch it with my foot. And
mic tricks.
Yeah, mic tricks. Move. Baby.
Who were guys, and we skipped over this with the tell, but like the other big guys that were coming in that you were just like, that influenced you or that you saw that you were like, holy shit, like that guy's killing it.
The two guys that really were like, these guys are killing it was Swartzen.
Nick Swartzen.
Swartzen was on fire, like Grandma's Boy. I don't know, had been out like maybe a year or something, and he was just on fire. It was like the same sort of thing. And then Tosh. Tosh was killing it too right then. And then Dane Tosh. Also. Dane was also like.
Yeah, right. That was when he was. Yeah. Because 04.
I guess Dane was like really the peak of seeing someone walk into a room and all of a sudden like people from the bar would run in and like it got kind of weird and crazy.
Yo, and I was telling you this when I think after Phoenix, but like that's like the response you were getting when you're coming on stage, like the closest that I've seen to that in a while was when Dane was on the up and up. Where there was that rock star element to it, man, where it was like there's such a – I mean, shit, dude, two shows we did there, 700 people fucking both sold out, and these people going bananas. And it's like, you know, like a lot of other people, like that they also everyone was there for you, and that's what every comic wants to get to a point to, where you know, like we're building followings in places, and like Brad, you know, more so because he's headlining all over the place. And, like, he's getting people coming to see him, but it's like, we all want to get that point when everyone's there.
Yeah.
So when you walk out.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, like, yeah, it was a total shortcut.
What were you telling me that Rita, the manager of the Improv, you said when you were taking a picture or pretending to, like, make out with your picture, and she was crying or something because she was so happy for you.
Yeah.
I
was doing, like, a dumb video. Like, the Improv was like, hey, would you, like, film this little video saying, like, hey, I'm – Adam Devine here live at the Hollywood Improv, come down and watch a show or something.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're like, do you just want to do it in the bar? And I'm like, no, let's do it by my photo. And then I like do it right by my photo, and then I go, oh, hey, handsome. And then I start making out with my photo, and then I'm like, God, you're a good looking devil. And then they cut the video, you know, it was like really strange and weird. And then I look over and Rita, who's just like tearing up.
Because she's so happy for him.
She's the one that hired me at
Oh, that's
at
so
the
cool.
Yeah, it was cool. But
It's funny, you mentioned the whole photo thing. About 3 months ago, they put my picture up at the Hollywood Improv, and I was like, I was fucking so excited about it. Here's the thing. It's on, how would you describe the location of where my picture is?
You know where the ticket booth is.
Yeah.
It's basically on the back wall of the ticket booth. You know where there's a little bar you can lean? Yeah. It's
below the bar.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So it's like on the lower panel. But
that is the most comedic placement of a
I know, right?
photo. You have the funniest photo in the Hollywood Improv.
But here's the thing though, is you know how you said a fan like caught you taking a picture of your picture?
Yeah.
Because of the picture's location and the fact that it's at my level, it's cut off the entire left side of the bar to me.
Yeah.
I can't walk over there because if I walk over there, it looks like I'm standing next to my picture going, hey, ladies. See, that's me right there. So now I just have to stay on the right side of the photo or the right side of the bar, and that's where all the porn stars hang out.
That's true. That is porn star placement.
It is.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. Doesn't suck.
Yo, just in talking to like fans and stuff, and then you're saying that, like, obviously we're all big basketball fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is what's crazy to me, because I fantasize about getting to a point where Ken Griffey Jr. goes, you know, my hometown hero, goes, hey, man.
He played baseball.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you said basketball.
Hey, sometimes I shift gears in my head. I give the segue and transition, and out loud I just expect people to follow.
Yeah. All right, We made the jump with you.
But, like, I, you know, to a point to where Ken Griffey Jr., like, sends me a message on Twitter and goes, hey, man, really like that, you know.
He's going to take his shirt off. Just took his shirt
off. The thought of Ken Griffey Jr. complimenting me.
Got me flustered.
You heard Ken Griffey Jr. and you thought, these nipples can't be covered now.
But, you know, like, to where he goes, hey, man, I like what you do as well. And I'm like, well, I like what you do, too, man.
And then you just sit there and you stare at each other and start putting
caramels
in each other's mouths.
Hopefully the conversation will be cooler than that. But your favorite Clipper, right?
Oh, B. Griff.
B. Griff.
Woo! Blake Griffin.
Unreal. You meet him,
he's my favorite. I mean, I've loved the Clippers since I moved here because I couldn't afford. I'm a big basketball fan. I couldn't afford Laker tickets.
That's why a lot of people are Clipper fans.
Yeah, and so I just like jumped on board with the Clippers, and it was still fun to go to games. And they did suck.
Plus,
but
Billy
then
Crystal
when they got,
was a big fan and analyzed this as a great movie.
Yeah, so you know, it all worked out. But then they got Blake, and he's just phenomenal, man. He's so much fun to watch.
But so you have no idea that he's fan of the show up until you met him, right? Or were dead?
No. He actually tweeted at me randomly. It was just like, at Adam Devine, and was like, I'm a big fan of the show, man. Keep up the good work, or something pretty generic.
Do you wake up to that?
I was at Comic-Con. I had like, we were doing like a, you know, Comic-Con is like the big comic book festival, but now it's blown up and it's like movies and TV shows.
So everyone goes to announce the new seasons of whatever.
And
so,
we go and we did like a panel, and I had to do like interviews for 12 hours the next day. And we'd just gotten in, and we were just going out and drinking or whatever. And I see that he texted me, and I didn't even text back because I was scared until like 2 days later until I thought of like a clever, and it was just like, yeah, bro, we should like play NBA 2K together or something, you know, not even good. But that whole night I just kept screaming, Blake Griffin is my homeboy.
Oh, my God,
is my homeboy. Oh, what? Yeah. I never say homeboy ever. That was my word of the night. screamed it to the point that I couldn't talk the next day.
Oh my
and
God.
I have all these interviews, and it's just me being like, yeah, so we all met at, like, college. Oh, and then I moved up to L.A. and met Durs at the second city. I sounded like Super Dave. Like, I'm
Super Dave Osborne.
Yeah, I sounded like,
hey, I'm slightly related to Jimmy Kimmel. No one knows how.
Yeah, that's true. We're going with Cheryl. Larry.
It was in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You took the flowers from my mom's gravesite. Larry, we're going with Cheryl.
We're going with Cheryl. That's a good Super Dave.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
We may have to have Adam do Super Dave at Celebrity Serenades.
That'd be pretty great. So then when you met Blake, like, and then you said that.
He's like, if you want to come to the game, let me know. And I'm like, and it took me like way too long to ask because I was like scared. I mean, I mean like. You know, because just doing comedy and, like, and about, you, like, meet
Hollywood improv,
actors, and you meet comics or just whatever, just because they're, like, peers.
Yeah.
But, like,
after a while, you get desensitized to actors and stuff because you're just like,
I kind of do that shit, too. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah.
But, like, I cannot do what Blake Griffin does. He's a superhero to me. So he was, like, come to a game, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Say, Ken Griffey Jr., this shirt's coming off.
Yeah. Expose the nips. So he said, come to a game. Me and my girlfriend went to the game, and she was like, I've never seen you like this. Just because I'm, like, super jittery, and I kept snapping my fingers. Why was I snapping my fingers? I was just, like, doing a weird 1-2 step, like, waiting for him to come out of the locker room. Just snapping fingers.
Hoping that he'd see you just fucking rocking out.
Yeah, just being like, oh, that guy seems fun.
I want to be sure that I'm doing a cool pose when Blake sees me, totally. So obviously I'm just going to start snapping
and doing a 1-2 step.
Wow.
A drink and a 2-step.
that's got to be a total trip, though. And you forget, in this business, you forget, oh, yeah, athletes watch TV. They watch YouTube clips of stand-up comedy. Yeah, like, they do what we all do. So when someone comes up and goes, holy crap, like, I love your show, you're like, what, you watched the show? Okay.
Yeah. Because that's the thing, too, about doing a show. It's like, you're not getting... it's not like with stand-up where you get, like, if people come to it and they kind of see you do your thing, but you're doing the show and then you put it out there, and it's not like you're tracking the numbers, like, you know, throughout the country, but
it's not like you do a stand-up in front of the San Antonio Spurs
watch it every Wednesday, you know?
Yes, totally.
Now, when you're writing an episode of Workaholics, do you guys have, like, your roles on how you write, or is it just like you will write an episode, other guys write it? Like, is it a cooperative effort?
Great,
like,
question.
Yeah. Well, we all would just break every episode together, and then you'll go and branch off and write the episode after it's all beaten out. So really, like, we write it as a group.
Okay.
So
you, like, brainstorm and find, like, the concept.
Yeah, it's just like we want to do an episode where the guys, like, go out of town and try to be men. Mm-hmm. So that's where you start, and you're like, okay, what's a good reason? You just sort of break it down and just try to make it seem like something you haven't seen on TV. That's, like, what we're trying to do, is, like, have it not be – or if it is, like, a familiar thing, like, you know, Anders' dad comes into town and sees what his life is like, then you try to make it as crazy and as weird as possible. Because, nobody's trying to see Workaholics that and have the same storyline that's on, like, 2.5 Men or whatever.
Sure. Right. Now, in season 3, are you guys still getting along? Is it stuff like, hey, your stuff is getting in the episode more than mine, I'm jealous? Like, is it any sort of that?
Or none of that.
Guys just all bros?
Yeah, it's
That was the Billy Bush Access Hollywood question. Yeah. So is season 3, you guys have been around each other for a while.
Well, who's starting to hate who? Who's fucking whose mom? Yeah.
I like – Billy Bush seems way cooler with your impression. Yeah.
That was the coolest Billy Bush.
Yeah, it's like, you guys fucking around or who's fucking who?
Who's fucking who is the first question? My favorite part about whenever Billy Bush is on Access Hollywood is they always have techno music going on in the background while he's asking someone about their drug
Access
problem.
Access Hollywood is filmed in a German nightclub.
It's like, so like the harsh, like the most house techno music ever. He's like, pew, pew, pew. So we heard that you actually lost your first child in a miscarriage. What was that like? It's not in a rave. Yeah. Like, you're not doing the interview that way.
They're just outside a fucking grocery store. You know, they're just in a parking lot somewhere. All of a sudden, they make it seem like, they just dim the lights down so you can't really tell where he's at.
My favorite about those shows are when they do rumor control, and you're probably going to start to find yourself being a part of this shit the more famous you get, where like they'll create a story that's not even true, and then they'll be like, you know, our Access Hollywood rumor control, like, you know, does Lindsay Lohan participate in underground bowling tournaments for cocaine?
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right. So then they create a story, and they put an image of her in a bowling alley, and they go, all right, we got to the bottom of the story, and all our Access Hollywood reports sources report that, no, she actually does not do that. Obviously.
Yeah.
But they bring it up, and you go, oh, shit.
Oh, does she?
Is there
underground? What a weird underground bowling league, and how can I be a part of this bowling?
And then they interview people on the street just to make the piece longer. They go, do you think Lindsay bowls for coke?
Nah, man. Nah, I don't even think Lindsay's like that, see?
Okay, one no.
Yeah, one no.
35 girls say, yeah, she's a drunk slut. Fuck her. Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't bowl for coke? Yeah. So
I would.
Mean, yeah.
Lord knows.
Well, I told you that I think I was set up by TMZ. Shout out, TMZ. I'm coming for you. Try to squash me. I don't give a fuck. I'm at the Laugh Factory, and this porn star who's obviously like a porn star, she's like, it's all hanging out, looking proper, not mad at it.
Yeah. I'm always happy when you see porn stars out and you could just tell. You're like, you're living that life 24/7.
You're good flying
for you.
That freak flag high, and that's appropriate. Good work.
Yeah.
But she was like, I think I really love Workaholics. I just got off stage at the Laugh Factory, and I'm a big fan. And I'm like, oh, cool. And she's like, and I want to suck your dick in your car right now. And I'm like,
forward much?
Goo, goo, goo.
She's like, what was that? You're like, that was
I'm like, I don't know why that came out of my body.
I don't know why my penis makes that noise when you say
that's
that.
That's my fart. Okay, never mind. Yeah. No, I just farted that. Porn stars.
So was there like a TMZ guy outside then?
Yeah, well, and then I said no, because I have like a chick and she was home waiting for me. I'm like, it's all good.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, okay, you sure? We'll go outside right now. And I'm like, no, all good. Then I go outside to my car and I'm parked out back, like where you're not supposed to park, like in the parking lot for
Greenblatt's. For people that don't know, Laugh Factory is right next to the Greenblatt's Deli. Laugh Factory, one of the best comedy clubs in the country, most popular comedy clubs in the country, somehow does not have the parking lot
directly behind them.
Rather, that belongs to the deli, and for being a Jewish deli, they run that parking lot like a bunch of Nazis.
Yeah.
If you're parked there 15 minutes and you're not going into Greenblatt's, they tow your ass.
Yeah, if you pre-ordered your pickles, maybe you came on time and got your pickles.
Well, that was my test. I was like, I'm going to park here. That was the first time. I'm like, if I get towed, I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. But fuck it, I'm parking here. And so I parked there, and I walk up to my car, and like I'm about to get in my car, and all of a sudden this car screeches up, like jump out. They have the camera already going, the lights
Perfect
are going.
Timing. Wow.
They come up, I mean, they're like, Adam. And then
what are you doing?
Then
man?
They're a little bummed. Like, and then they asked me some dumb fucking question about
the new
Pope.
So he had to start scrambling after. So he was getting ready to be like, Adam, what are you doing with that girl?
I mean, it wasn't that transparent because I didn't even put two and two together while I was there. But then I went home and I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, it could have been total coincidence, but that's pretty weird.
No,
well, you don't.
Yeah. Has
TMZ
that ever happened to you before? Like, or since? Has any some sort of ambush thing like that? Or is it
no, that was just
time?
A few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was a very new situation.
I would have put it past them, man. Like, they pride themselves on delivering shit that nobody else.
I mean, if that might have been something I did. Like, hell yeah. Like, if some chick's like, I want to blow you right now, and like, you're single or whatever, or like, yeah, okay, yeah, just come blow me. That's awesome. We're in the Green
in the back of a deli. Yeah. Who doesn't want to get a blowjob in the back of a matzo ball soup kitchen?
This sounds fantastic. But luckily, I was in a position that I had to say no, or else it would have just been like,
although,
what do you say? I guess you just say, yeah, she was about to blow me, and then do a weird dance. Like, that's
can
you all
you, that
that's all you could do. That's all you could do in that situation. She about to blow me, and then do a backwards peace sign. do a backward, two backward peace signs while doing a weird shimmy, and you're out.
You know what? See, here's the thing that I always think.
50,000 new Twitter followers.
Oh, done.
Blam.
Here's the thing about being a comedian, though, and I think it's why it's one of the best professions that we chose for ourselves, is that if a comedian is seen leaving a club with a porn star, does he get in trouble?
No.
Like, we're pretty much immune to that.
I mean, you only get in trouble from your mom or
right.
the girls in your life. Your little sister would be like, ew, Adam, you're fucking gross.
Yeah.
And that'll last for, like, a month, and then she'll be like,
oh. Until you buy him another gift, and then you're like, oh, wait, never mind. We love what you do.
Yeah,
because, I mean, like, the stuff we put on Twitter, like, we're always trying to, like, make weird jokes, and obviously the shit we say on stage is always crazy to an unbelievable degree, but we don't get in trouble for that because it's like, oh, we're comics. That's kind of what we're allowed to do. Like,
it's awesome.
If Doug Benson was caught with a bunch of blow and hookers and stuff, the only thing that would piss people off is like, why wasn't it weed, man?
Yeah,
come on, why is
come
it cocaine?
On, man. Yeah,
you are dedicated to weed. I know you're cheating on your wife, but obviously, go for it. Yeah. But come on. Yeah. So it's a great profession that we're in, but at the same time. Once you get past that stand-up level into the where you're Tracy Morgan, where you're Michael Richards, where you're other guys, then, you know, you're Tracy Morgan, you go on stage, you say, I would stab my son if he told me I was gay. Now you have hate groups coming at you all the time, taking the shit literal. So,
well, I want to go on the record and say I won't stab my son if he's gay.
Wow, you're taking a stance.
I'll just throw him down the stairs.
So much worse.
You heard it here first, TMZ. Adam Devine will throw his child down the stairs if gay.
Throwing down the stairs.
Does Workaholics have any gay characters? Yeah. Secret hatred?
Hatred.
I think you're at the perfect level of fame right now because you're not at the level yet where, like, that would be a crazy big thing, I don't think. And then, but you're still obviously selling out
shows. What, to throw a gay son down the stairs? I'm pretty sure that would make headline news.
I mean, that might be on a ticker.
So.
Yeah, no one should be down throwing there. Their gay son downstairs.
I don't
any
know.
Level of fame or otherwise.
I think of Leonardo DiCaprio.
If you're a dental assistant, you shouldn't throw your son down the stairs.
Dude, if you're Danny Bonaducci or fucking Val Kilmer and you throw your gay son down the stairs.
You don't think that Leonardo DiCaprio could get away with throwing a gay son down the stairs. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, Leo? Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if he said I'm king of the world while I did it.
Yeah.
Obviously. Then, you know. But,
speaking of teen heartthrob movies.
Oh, boy.
Workaholics, you get known for, but Pitch Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, baby.
Ooh, baby.
That's like a whole new audience for you, too.
It's really bizarre, man. Because
that's a cult hit as well. Like,
it's a huge. It's made like $150 million.
Yeah, oh
my God, it's a huge movie. And people will come up to. It's really strange. Like
Beethoven's Second hasn't made that much money.
Yeah, I mean it's cool because like Workaholics fans are like I know them. Like I either was that dude or I currently am that dude or that's a future dude that I'm about to be. You know? Like,
can you imagine?
I'm in that wheelhouse. But Pitch Perfect is just like old moms and like 9-year-old girls and like teenage gay
that
dudes.
Have no idea about Workaholics or not.
And like the straight dude boyfriends that also like Workaholics.
Dude, yeah.
That are just like, yeah, my chick like made me go to the like this movie.
But you're
like,
actually
singing.
Pretty great.
I didn't want to go, but it's like funny, so like, hey man, fucking bumper rules, dude.
Yeah. Do you want to write sometime?
Yeah. Totally.
Did you know you could sing before that?
No, I didn't. But now I've learned.
Wait, Jansen, will you cue up that song for me real quick? Sure. I mean, I know you killed it in the movie singing wise, but like, there's everyone's got like, you know, you sing in the shower, you sing in the car.
Yeah.
Like, you had to know you could carry a tune.
Well, I always thought I could, but my father, for whatever reason, he's been super supportive in everything in my career. He was always like, yeah, you're pretty funny shit. Or like, yeah, seems like you can act. What the fuck do I know?
It's helpful.
When singing, he's like, you are dog shit. Jesus Christ. This is horrible.
Well, I think it's about time we give you an opportunity to change his mind. Jansen, will you cue that up for me?
Yeah, working on it.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, so are we going to make Adam Devine do his American Idol audition right here?
I don't know if it's American.
What is this? What am I getting set up?
Well,
it's a setup.
Nah, it's not like we emailed you the song before the show or anything.
Oh, that's all good.
Oh.
Yeah, that one. Oh yeah, the VC.
No, you didn't email me the song.
Yeah, I did.
Miles?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
don't tip the joke or nothing.
You got it?
Yeah.
Cool, perfect. I don't know if you know this song. I'll help you out with it if you don't. I'm pretty sure you do.
Ooh. Vanessa. She's like, this is like top three on my iTunes. Not joking.
I don't
Kyle
doubt
can
it.
Attest. Making my way. Oh, I came in hot.
Down in town and I'm going back.
It's the instrumental. Go.
Oh, it's the instrumental.
Yeah.
Oh,
but I don't know the lyrics.
Here, wait.
Making my way downtown, something, yeah. And I'm homebound. I mean, I'll listen to a song 400 times and still not know how the song goes.
Wait. Give just the beginning one more time. Give my boyfriend hand jobs in the car outside of a Quiznos on a Friday. Yeah, you got the next verse.
Blowing my dad's friends on the weekend with my girlfriend's Becky sitting shotgun. <You know. laughs> It went something like that.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know.
And I miss you. Oh,
please,
God, I miss you.
I wish dad loved me.
You know what would be crazy if it started out as a girl and slowly turned into a 30-year-old dude, but God, I miss you.
God, I miss you, man.
Where are you, Tina?
Why doesn't my dad love me? Dude, I like how my version of a 30-year-old dude, I'm almost 30. I'm like 6 months away or 9 months or whatever. Or 11 and a half or 7 years.
Keep TMZ
but
guessing.
My version is like 58.
Yeah, you went super old for the 30
year old. And I'm homebound.
I'm 30,
and I miss you.
I've been through some shit.
I've been bricklaying, working construction for my dad.
Because I own a Home Depot.
Hey, I own a Chili's franchise. It's going pretty good.
It's going pretty good.
No Chili's franchise owner is very overly modest.
Yeah. If you own a Chili's, you are a loudmouth fucker.
And you come down to my Chili's. You can lick my friend Dwayne, but then
we've got fajitas.
Oh my God, I think we're writing jingles for Chili's right now.
Steak and shrimping.
It was a chicken shrimp combo.
And Diet Sprite.
Woo! See, they've been looking for a new hit after the "I want my baby back, baby back, baby back." They have nothing since then.
They keep going back to Joey Fatone. That's their problem. They're like, "You have anything else for us, Joey?"
Too much Fatone.
I can do the baby back thing again, or
not even the top three guys have been NSYNC. They're like, "Well, it was between you and Chris Kirkpatrick."
Yeah,
Kirkpatrick has a meth problem, so we're gonna go with you.
Was Joey Fatone the baby back ribs guy?
He's the one that dropped it low.
Trivia.
That was him.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, and I can't.
Shout out to Joey Fatone. Follow him on Twitter at Chili Joey.
Yeah.
At Chili Joey. Oh, my God.
Follow him at Justin's friend. Shots fired, Joey. I'm coming for you. I don't give a fuck.
Dude, if you started an all-out Twitter war between you and Joey Fatone. Oh, God.
I bet he's a great guy. What do I mean?
That'd be a fun one. NSYNC against Workaholics?
Yeah.
You know what? Let's
Holy
just...
moly.
All right, Adam. Who do you start a Twitter war with?
Who'd be my celebrity? LeVar Burton.
This rainbow couldn't read.
let's see who'd I'd go after Omar Gooding. from Wild and Crazy Kids.
Wet, Wild and Crazy Kids.
Yeah, what, Wild and Crazy Kids. Yeah, oh, that dude.
Having an orgasm.
Donnie Jeffcoat?
Donnie Jeffcoat.
Wow. Yeah.
Great
you
reference.
Pulled the name
he
on
him. He was always really
deep
fired
cuts
up.
Yeah.
Although,
with Adam
who was the redheaded girl?
The chick, the short one.
That would cheer on Wild
Shannon
and Crazy Kids.
Shannon Scarborough.
Oh, holy my God. Fuck.
Wow. No, I made that up.
Oh, okay. We couldn't verify it.
Yeah.
We both believed you.
Yeah,
I saw it.
Made that one up 100%.
No, but that chick annoyed me.
Because who's questioning Wild and Crazy Kid cast
right.
members?
You'd be like, Adam, I believe it was Jessica Chastain.
Yeah. You know been. Who we had on Workaholics? That would have been amazing, by the way. The biggest rise to stardom. Yeah, well, I started Wet, Wild, and Crazy Kids. Now I win fucking Oscar.
Omar Gooding is constantly hitting her up, right. being like, hey, if I could get a guest spot on the Help sequel.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, like, my football TV show that was on ESPN.
The Playmakers? Yeah. Oh, that was a great show.
I don't know if you saw that or not. But
he was great in that. What were we going to say? Crazy thing about Workaholics?
It's we have fun. I don't know.
Great. Well, thanks for coming by.
But now, have you had like have you gotten like guest stars on Workaholics? Are you like, holy shit, I can't believe we got
there
this
he
guy.
There he is. He found the thread.
Brought it back.
Grabbed it by its tail. we had Mark Summers on an episode.
What?
That was the host.
What'd you do?
Double Dare, right?
Yeah, Double Dare.
And what would you do?
And, yeah.
But Double Dare's more famous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was like the coolest dude ever.
Yo, how do you even think to get him on the show? You just like.
What was crazy is we were doing. It was the episode. It's like probably one of our most successful episodes, I guess. Because Blake, we get our check and we each blow it on like insane things. And Blake spent his money on a giant bear coat.
As you do.
Which has now been famous because of that.
Yeah, because of that. And Comedy Central sells that shit now. And and he wants to go see Mark Summers because Mark Summers is doing his, like, Food Network TV show at the Clippers game. And I'm trying to take these chicks, the third love of my life, to the Clippers game. And we go there. And anyways, he's like, I would, like, hang out with you guys all night. All I want is that bear coat. And we're like, hell yes. And so we give him the bear coat. But when we were writing the episode, Baron Davis played for the Clippers.
Right.
And we're all big Baron Davis fans.
Sure.
So it was going to be Baron Davis. And our big pun was he's like, I want that bear on Davis. That was it.
That's
and that was a racist impression of Baron Davis. I don't know if it sounds like that at all. But
sure.
Sounds like Shaggy.
Yeah.
I want the bear coat. It was a move.
But naked, banging in the bear coat on the bathroom floor.
What if Baron Davis was that?
Yeah.
Me and Baron Davis. Naked on the bathroom floor. No, dude, no, I wasn't there.
Yeah, how do you make Baron's the like jump from Baron Davis to Mark Summers?
Because we couldn't get Baron Davis.
What?
Yeah, couldn't get him.
What's he doing?
And then we were like, Mark Summers. I don't know how you. Well, we're going to go after like a Dallas Reigns type dude because we're like, who would be actually? And then we're like, it would be so cool to get someone like Mark Summers. And then we're like, well, let's just ask Mark Summers. Turns out he was like the coolest dude and was
so
totally down.
I was hoping that you had a moment where you're just like, I don't know, like we just lost Baron Davis and it was such a physical challenge to get him. And then everyone just pops up and goes,
boing.
Did you say physical challenge? Let's get Mark Summers.
And Mark shows up and goes, let's put 60 seconds
on, us.
Yeah. on the clock to see how long it takes you to convince me to do this. You're going to go up the slide, grab the red flag, suck my dick, grab a flag out of the pot.
You're going to go through the giant nose, land in the puddle of gack.
I always wanted to go down the slide into that pool of whipped cream.
Dude, just while out.
Just for a 10-speed bike, dude. I was ready to lose my fucking mind for a 10-speed bike.
Just go fucking many for a pair of light-up LA gears. You know?
Dude, they were always a sponsor.
Just while out.
They were always a sponsor.
Yeah.
Dude, more kids dreamt about being on Double Dare than going to college.
Yeah, I
sure.
was like, fuck college. I'm trying to get myself a Casio keyboard.
Yo, my parents split up when I was 8. If somebody was like, would you rather your parents get back together or be on Double Dare? I'd be like, I'll take the physical challenge, motherfucker. I already been through the emotional challenge, and that didn't go too well.
The give emotional
me,
challenge.
Give me the physical one.
Oh, my God. Adam, you got dates coming up? Are you on the road? Are you writing right now?
I'm
doing
this show called Adam Devine's House Party, and it's like going to be like I'm It's going to be like Live at Gotham, sort of, where it's like the new faces of comedy.
That's great.
But I'm doing something a little different with it, just because I didn't want to host a regular stand-up show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing this, like, Comedy Central gave me a bunch of money to produce a stand-up show, and I blew all the money on this insanely ridiculous home, like this mansion.
Really?
And now I have to throw the stand-up show at this giant mansion where I have parties every week.
So it's like house party, but instead of Kid and Play, it's Adam Devine and stand-up.
And then there's going to be like a comedic thread, like one episode, like comic brings a girlfriend that like an ex-girlfriend of mine, mm-hmm. and then now I have beef with that comic, so when I bring him up, I'm like, personally, like, not a fan of this guy.
He's not funny at all.
Not a fan, very 80s style of comedy.
Which is great, too, because then it gives the comedian a little chance, like, for you guys to do some banter
And then you give him a light after 30 seconds, and then it's me talking to his girlfriend, like, in between, like, while he's on stage and being like, so honestly, we talking dick size? What's he packing? stuff like that.
That's great.
Yeah, and then you'll come back in the stand-up. I think it's going to be fun.
Dude, I'm so happy you're doing it because
we had Adam come on and work for a week and just pitch ideas
fun,
and
man.
Stuff. Yeah,
dude, it's go. Just, it's so, yeah. The standard showcase stand-up shows are just like, people I think are kind of over them. Like they just, they want something like else in between or it's.
I think it's people like, who knows? Maybe, maybe that's. The show's gonna suck, and everybody will be like, "No, we just want the regular stand-up.
We just want the brick wall back.
We just want the wall." But I think it's like, you grew up like, we've been watching internet videos for like almost 10 years now. Like, people just want to see like people being funny.
Yep.
And like, people still really like stand-up, and I think stand-up's like kind of on a boom of like people going out and seeing stand-up right now.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's kind of a perfect blend of like. You want to see funny situations, and you want to see these funny comics also in funny situations and dealing with cool, funny shit as well.
When is that show going to come out?
We shoot it in like a month, so I'm in the like depths of writing it. So I've been told like something like fall, but who knows? It's up to them.
Will Mark Summers be performing stand up on the show?
Yeah, he's doing
And is he doing all just
the
trivia questions?
Just a giant double dare.
A zebra has how many ears for $50?
Actually, I don't even want to talk about that because I need to go back to the writer's room tomorrow and be like, scrap that. Scrap the season.
We're bringing in
Mark Summers. We're bringing double dare back in a big way at the house party.
Yo, but for real, of all the movies and shows that get remade and game shows, how has Double Dare not been remade for primetime?
The producers have to just be just maniacs. They have to, like, they must just be coke-riddled maniacs that everyone's like, I'm not trying to work with that guy. And he's just like, yeah, and then you go through the nose, man. Yeah.
There's a lot of great stuff in the nose if you just look.
Just got to go with the nose, man, to get the flag, man.
To get the flag,
And the flag's red because that's like the color of communism, man. Yeah, and we're going to bury it. We're going to bury it on a bunch of red, white, and blue, man, because America's the best. I'm okay.
Let's start a lawn mowing business together. What?
And at the end of it, you want a piano that you plug in.
Yeah.
Easy, man.
Easy. Snap bracelets. I wonder how many extra. He just has a freaking storage center filled with snap bracelets.
All the 80s prizes that they couldn't give away.
Just could not give away. He's like, I got these LA gears.
Some of them light up. Some of them don't.
None of them light up anymore.
We're not supposed to be here. The keyboard ties.
Yeah, they're all size 4. So
laminated photos of Jody Sweetin. We got to get out of here, dude. Nobody's supposed to be here.
Well, Adam Devine, you're an inspiration to everyone out there that thinks like, I want to be, I've got this outlet, I got this thing I have to do, what can I do with it? Hey, you can be like Adam Devine, you could get it on YouTube, and you could have Comedy Central give you a fuckload of money.
Yeah.
So, that's good. You
make
are.
Money, get you some.
G Money would be proud of you.
Yeah,
by the way,
yeah,
G Money would be
that
proud.
What he said?
G Money when we moved out of that house because it was me, Blake, and Kyle that lived in that house together.
Oh shit!
Yeah, when we moved out of that house, he goes because he always saw us like making videos and shit. He came over to the house and we're moving out. And we became friends with him, and he goes was like little Misty and I was like, yo, you guys moving out? And we're like, yeah, man, we're moving.
Shit.
We're moving, G. And he goes, yo, so I guess I see y'all on Broadway. And we're like, what?
My God.
We're like, you think we were trying to get on Broadway with our weird little videos we're making? He's like, see y'all on Broadway.
And
we're like, Yeah, and we're like, what does G think of us? Like, he must just hear us over in our house being like, can you take out the garbage? Yes, I will, my friend.
He thinks you're doing a revival of Anything Goes.
Yeah. No, by the way, amazing that he thinks you're going to end up there, but that he will see you there. Yeah. Like, yeah, at some point, man, I'm going to get me a plane ticket.
Yeah, yo, whenever I'm in New York, I got to see the Mary Poppins matinee. I got to check out.
Mary Poppins. Yeah. Jim Jarrell, man.
Yo, I saw Lion King at the Pantages.
As long as your show don't overlap with Thoroughly Modern Millie, I will come see you. I will be there.
I'm there.
Well, Adam, thanks for coming out. Where can people find you? Twitter, website?
Yeah, I'm the most original in name, at Adam Devine.
Woo!
Hard to find.
Was that your AOL screen name?
No, it was. Because
everybody had creative AOL.
It was Pez Collector 08.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Pez Collector.
Oh, it was Pez Collector 08 at AOL.
Now, were you super into Pez then, or were you just like, this is a funny throwback to like a year ago?
No. Well, we didn't even cover this, and it's a lot to get into, but I was hit by a cement truck when I was a kid. And
wait, what?
I was hit by a cement truck. I couldn't walk for like 2 years. So
you and I have this in, not a cement truck, but I've been hit by a car 3 times. We can bond over this shit.
No shit,
this
have
is
you
episode
really?
Two.
Yeah, three. I've been hit by a car 3 different times. Three different cars.
Wow.
Yeah,
I was hit by a cement truck. Couldn't walk for off and on for 2 years. I could like walk, and then would have to get a surgery and have to go back with crutches. But it was like a 2-year stint.
No shit.
And where was I going with this story?
That's all we're going to talk about because that's a little painful.
I think we'll see.
Oh, Pez Collector.
Broadway.
Yeah. And then they gave me like people didn't know what to give me, so they would just give me Pez while I'm in the hospital. So I ended up.
Sorry, you
Juan.
Can't walk. Here's Pez.
I think he was like, I got Juan and being like, this is pretty cool. You know, my mom's like, he loves them. Buy him Pez.
After one.
And ended up having like 500 by the time I was like a sophomore in high school.
It's like, you know, I could go for some medical insurance.
Yeah,
maybe some baseball cards.
Something like this. Valuable. I mean, Best Buy gift certificates. Yeah. I mean, don't
actually,
get me wrong.
Pez are pretty valuable.
Tweety Bird Pez dispenser is the shit.
Yeah. I don't know if you look on eBay right now, but there's a Cookie Monster Pez dispenser that goes for $50.
Well, if you get them without the feet, they're worth more. There's a Pez gun. There's a lot of stuff. I'm out of here. Great. Thanks a lot, guys. This is fun. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Adam Devine. Thank
Adam
you
Devine,
so much.
Everybody.
Workaholics season 4 or 5 are coming back, right?
Huh? you're staying right here. We start writing the new season in about a month.
That's
and
incredible.
We're going to be shooting it. Hopefully, we think it'll come back in January, 13 more episodes.
Badass,
and then we got 13 more after that. So if you like Workaholics, expect a bunch more of it.
There you go. Adam Devine, everyone. Adam Ray, where can people find you?
You find me at AdamRayComedy.com and AdamRayTV.com for all my videos and dates. I'll be in Seattle this weekend and then the Comedy Works and Kansas City coming up and all that bullshit. Flappers.
Flappers. Yeah, Flappers. Opening for Brad Williams.
Ooh.
Woo!
Ooh.
Be there. BradWilliamsComedy.com. Follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. This has been a great episode. Adam, thank you so much for coming out.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's fun, guys.
And on behalf of Adam Ray, Adam Devine, I'm Brad Williams. Thanks for listening to About Last Night. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
Peace out.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.